If you had to say Tony Romo or Luis Suarez.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Nope.
Death is not an option.
I choose my own death.
You choose your own death?
I choose my own death.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah. Trainwreck, the show where keeping it real gets mildly offensive and awkwardly amusing. I am one of your hosts, Sarah.
And I am Jay.
Guys, we're...
and I'm Joel.
We're here about to, well, not about to, currently recording episode number 54.
The Horace Grant episode. Ooh. Which, well,
okay.
Which we'll talk about.
All right.
I like how you just low-key burped once.
I mean, whatever. Anyway... Jay just alluded to something that we'll be getting to later on the show. Yeah, man, episode 54, as normal speaking humans say it, or 54 to us.
54.
If this is your first time, thank you so much for joining us. If this is more than your first time, thank you for coming back for more. Apparently, you are a masochist, and we appreciate you for that.
You're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah. The show is pretty much what we call it. It's the most beautiful of train wrecks, which perfectly describes our lives. It can be found on many different avenues if you would like to listen, such as Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google Play, yes. And Spreaker.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've done enough talking.
No excuses. You got to listen to us right now.
Yes.
Not that it's mandated or anything.
No.
I believe in everybody's right to choose.
No. Fuck that. Listen to this shit. Yeah. Or else.
We're good to listen to in the office. And in public places, mm-hmm. like, you know, elementary schools or yes. daycares.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You should probably also listen to us around your very old and conservative relatives. That Absolutely. Will go over really well.
Yeah. It'll go great for you.
Yep.
So once you do that, uh-huh. report back to us and let us know.
Yes.
And you can actually let us know on several different social media accounts.
Yep.
Most notably, Instagram,
mm-hmm.
where you can find us at the BTW Podcast. Hit us up on Twitter. At the _ BTW Podcast. Also on Facebook. You might have heard of it. But uh-huh. we're on Facebook.com/TheBeautifulTrainWreck. It's all one word.
Right.
And if you don't feel like being so public about it, you can hit us separately on email.
Yes.
At Gmail. That's thebtwpodcast@gmail.com.
We're still working on our MySpace and Black Planet pages, so don't you worry.
Your Black Planet, there's nothing wrong with yours.
I was about to say.
Yeah. Mi gente, Black That's Planet, funny. All
yeah,
that.
Yeah, all that. Yeah. Find us on the interwebs, y'all.
Sarah is a woman of the people, so she's got on everything.
I'm very diverse.
Especially Bumble. And
oh, God. I actually recently got back on Bumble the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you get any buzzes or whatever the fuck they call them?
Buzzes?
Oh, no.
Buzzes?
I don't. I
know.
I'm out the game. So I don't know. That's what I would call it.
Yeah, no, that's not what it's called.
Cool.
It's called a connection. That's it.
Oh. Then what if? Okay, whatever. We'll get into that later. So.
Okay. I don't think we need to sit here and further dissect what it's called when you match with someone on an internet dating website, because basically who gives a fuck?
I'm sure the person who connects does.
The person who what?
Connect. So we digress, which we sometimes do, but we're actually excited about this week because, yep. well, for several reasons. I mean, we have a lot to talk about. Damn, goddamn. Sorry.
God. Jesus.
I was taken aback by that. I was just figured. And we got a special guest this week in the studio.
We do.
The homie George / our producer.
Yeah, he's sleeping on the job right now.
Yeah, he definitely is.
He ain't doing shit.
We'll see if we can get a picture of him. Normally, he doesn't come down here because he'd rather be upstairs doing British Cocker Spaniel things.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The fact that he's even around me right now is, I'm taking it as a win.
Oh, it's a complete W.
Yeah.
That's like the opposite of what France took.
Oh.
But anyway, so we're excited this week because it's our last week once again before vacation.
Vacation, motherfuckers. Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah. Jesse Spano style.
Yes. minus the caffeine pills or whatever it was she was taking.
Yeah. So. I like how they tried to downplay it. You know, like it's like, oh, it's just caffeine pills. And it's like, caffeine pills. That's child's play.
That's so 92.
I know. God.
Yeah. So, but this week we get into obviously a week in review because people who know us personally actually give a little bit of a fuck in their lives.
And we'd be doing shit.
Yeah, we'd be doing shit. Women's World Cup, of course. It's actually an exciting week of matches.
Guys, it was so good.
Yeah. And then we preview the upcoming
Yes.
Semifinals? Did I get it right?
Yes, semifinals.
Okay. I always get the quarterfinal and semifinal.
Why do you have a problem with that?
Because quarter is four.
And four games took place.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, I'm thinking, no, I mean, it makes sense. Does it to you? It does. I mean,
it sounds like it doesn't. Four games happened in the quarterfinals.
Okay, look, I get it, but I'm just saying, like, final four is what I was thinking of.
Yeah, quarters.
Look. I'm still, you know what?
You know what? Still, fuck you too. I thought we made up,
but apparently
not. No, you know what? And we'll talk about that too further on in the Hot Mess Express, because there's some shit, which is exactly, okay, you know what? It's fine. No. We'll just keep this moving. We're going to keep this moving.
I should push you off the damn chair.
That's fine. You can try. You ain't going to move me. Saying.
It's because my arms are failing me, but listen.
Okay.
So, but there's an interesting article that we did come across.
Yeah.
And it's just, really talking about how U.S. women's soccer is disproportionately
lacking in diversity,
lacking in cultural and ethnic diversity, whatever the fuck, race.
Yeah,
a lot of white people on the team.
Yeah,
and it's just an interesting. And we wanted to take the chance to talk about it because there's a lot of, I don't want to say inconsistencies, but probably things that
there's just a lot of things to address with the article, and not that it's wrong, not the idea in which they're trying to portray or the concept that they're trying to get across. It's wrong, but I'll tell you what my big qualm with it is, and we'll get into it.
Yeah.
And of course, what would an episode be without some relationship things to talk about?
Ooh, I'm so excited to talk
really
about
is.
It.
Oh my goodness.
We have a list. We came across a list of 10 old-fashioned dating rules that people think that should come back. And we'll go down the list and we'll talk about whether we agree or disagree about them. And then this week's Hot Mess Express, we talk about numbers. We
play a good old game, the numbers game, if you will.
The numbers game, indeed. So,
and I'm excited for it because it's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, so, and numbers as it pertains to sports players who wear the numbers. So, yeah. So, yeah, there's the context of it, so. So, without any further ado, let's get started. The week in review, Miss Sarah.
Well, my entire week was pretty much based on more things of soccer. Obviously, first and foremost, huge shout out to one of my co-ed soccer teams that I play with, the Lost Tourists.
The what?
Lost Tourists.
Oh, okay.
Lost Tourists. Tourists.
Terrorists?
Nope. Tourists. Am I saying that wrong? I'm probably... Anyway, so we won the spring outdoor season, Division I of the Capital Coed Soccer League yet again.
Congrats to you.
Thanks. A big reason why I shout them out is because I've been playing with this team since 2007. Mm. Yeah, spring 2007. So a lot of it has evolved and changed so much since then. So, I mean, that team had existed long before I even joined the team. So it's been around for a long time. It's been really cool meeting all these new and different people while we play. And this past Sunday, a week ago from today, which is when we're recording, we won, man. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. And it was hot as all hell. But yeah, it was a great experience. So shout out to my Lost Tourists. That was awesome. That was a great way to start my week. Yeah.
That's
awesome. And everything else was pretty much waiting for this Women's World Cup quarterfinal to happen.
Oh, okay.
Which damn well should have been a final in itself.
Absolutely.
And be super happy because, guys, guess who watched the game with me in public? His name is Julian Kyle Smith.
Hmm. Well, that person's whole government is out
the
there.
The whole government. The whole government name. So yeah, that was pretty much my week and getting ready for vacation.
Vacay.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. I'm super excited. I haven't taken vacation in a really long time. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether I'll be bothering you or not.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It's just like you don't want to be bothered while watching soccer. So it's like you'll be on the I'm still not sitting next to you on the plane.
Okay, then don't sit next to me on the fucking plane.
Well, because you'd be burping and farting and stuff.
How do you... What? Okay, like you don't...
You farted like twice last show.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I didn't.
Girl.
If I did, I would admit to it. And that was not a fart.
Maybe.
It really wasn't.
Okay, but you'd be making fart sounds.
Oh, my God.
I can't, you know.
It's because I'm sweating. And this is a chair that has friction in it when you move, okay? Oh, okay. Julian, your yes. week.
Okay, so my week in review, just echoing what the lovely Sarah said.
Okay, he hates my soul right now, y'all. Don't let him fool you.
I don't. I get over things really fast.
Okay, also a lie.
I'm like a hurdle runner.
What?
Because I get over things.
Wow. But
anyway, so.
It's a good effort.
I hate everything. So one of the highlights of my week was actually. Getting out to be able to watch the show with Sarah and...
The game.
Yep. I'm sorry. The game.
The match?
The match. The soccer match. The football match. Mm-hmm. USA women's team versus the French national women's team. And it was a lot of fun getting out there. We went to Yard House. Not to be confused with Yard House. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. That place is always packed. Legit, always packed.
Well, you should have been there the first two games. It wasn't that packed.
Oh, yeah.
First few games, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was cool.
It was a great atmosphere. I was really pleased with how many people were out there. Yeah, good atmosphere.
Talking to people. You know, God family was out there. Yours.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
I was like, who?
Yeah.
I thought y'all should know that your man Jay was out here trying to be all modest about his jersey collection and shit. Talking about, oh, I just have a few. This, and this. Oh, whatever. It's just something that I kind of do. I'm surprised we're not wearing a new one right now.
Just wait.
Exactly. Okay, there we go.
Espera.
Yeah.
So, but another thing that I did actually, yesterday I went to the first Orioles game of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And wouldn't you believe it, they won.
Shit.
And they won in a shutout.
Like, handedly, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, it was a shutout?
A weekend series, three shutouts, two, have been won by the Orioles, but it was good. It was hot as shit, the game. It was so one of the reasons, there's actually a couple reasons we went to the game. One, because... the homie Janet was in town from Cali, so we got a chance to kind of reconnect, and it was a lot of fun. She's doing her thing, you know, Cali girl coming out to show us East Coast people how it's done, I guess. But also because they had a Maryland jersey giveaway, and you know me and jerseys, you know, I'm not going to turn away a giveaway, especially if it's a jersey. So.
And they all had the same generic number on it, right?
Yeah, number 19. Not for Chris Davis, but for... the year 2019.
2000 and.
Yes. So it was cool. It was really hot. It was like inconvenient. And I didn't stay for the whole game because I knew I had a four-legged son to be responsible for. So I left.
Wasn't it delayed?
It was delayed, yeah. Yeah, it started raining for a little bit. But we were over in the bar section, whatever you call it. A lot of fun. Camden Yards, always a place to be.
I mean, Camden Yards has always been phenomenal, in my opinion. IMO.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. It's like I'll meet people and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm a baseball fan, whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, you ever been to Camden Yards? They're like, what, where? And I'm like, okay.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, honestly, we can talk about this too. Like, I pose an ass motherfucker. It's like, you ain't no baseball fan. Come on.
Yeah.
That's one thing I can't stand about, like, my boy Anthony that came out with us to watch the game on Friday. That was like, oh, I'm just cheered again. Is it fun to have an adversary? No, motherfucker, it's not.
Okay.
Because you're being an adversary for no reason. For literally no reason.
I am so curious as to why people do that.
To be an asshole. Blatantly to be an asshole.
Why do people do that? Because that was for a while, Obi did that. I don't know if he does.
Well, I love Obi to death, but I think I can say this rather confidently. And Obi, you're an asshole for that. I love you, but you're an asshole for that.
Yeah. I just, what is the appeal of doing
to be
that.
An asshole,
but I'm saying like what like, I'm saying why do they like what is it about them that attracts them to being an asshole?
To be an asshole, I don't know. You've met Obi, right?
Yeah, but you know, it's like, you know, you want somebody to win. It's like, oh yeah, they suck or whatever, you know. So that's what he was doing, because I wasn't at that part of the bar.
Let me tell you this: if you do that and you can't like give me supporting stats and or figures concerning the team that you're supporting and trying to cheer against me with, and nah. Your opinion is null and void.
Right.
You do not exist.
You know what I'm thinking about? This is just I'm thinking aloud right now.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't date somebody like that.
Hell no!
Like, that's probably an absolute turnoff. That's one of the things I appreciate about Stephanie. That's the only one you'll hear. is it like, if I support a team, you know, like, she'll be happy in supporting the team with me, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
She'll agree with the fact that I support it, you know. Not to say that she won't support the team, but, you know, it's like,
right. Right, she'll, like, So again, one of my, I guess, stipulations, if you will, is I'm not out here to date a Duke fan, and I'm not out here to date a Cowboys fan, right? Because I hate your teams. Automatically, I just hate your teams. And because sports means so much to me, I'm not watching those games with you, and I sure as shit ain't going to be like, oh, babe, I hope your team wins. No, I don't, actually.
Yeah.
I hope they lose every single game.
Yeah.
Even the ones that they're not able to lose, I hope they lose them. I hope they find a way to... I hope they lose practice. I hope they lose in practice. That's how I feel.
How did practice go? Oh, we lost.
Oh, we lost. Yeah. I hope they lose that. Like, that's how... Nah, I'm not. Yeah. So, the closest thing that did happen, and I've mentioned this before, is that I did date a guy who was a Giants fan and was a UVA alumni and therefore a big UVA fan. And the one homecoming that I went to UVA was when they were playing Maryland. And that was very interesting. And by interesting, I mean, I was very confused.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely believe in the whole fact that if you're supporting a team that has, like, you support a team, but there's also an allegiance that goes along with it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're cheering against somebody. So my thing, I remember when we were in, when Steph and I were in on vacay, I was hoping that the Raptors would lose. You know what I mean? And that was, at that time, they were playing the Bucks. You know, but I wanted the Raptors to lose. And I was, you know, kind of talking to the person next to me. Like, oh, like, do you want the Raptors to win? I was like, no, I actually want them to lose. You're like, oh, but like, why are you cheering against everybody? I was like, no, it's not that.
And I'm just cheering against the Raptors.
I'm cheering against the Raptors, and here's why. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because the Wizards, if you think about it, the Wizards have a history of heartbreaking losses to the Raptors. And I don't want to go as far as to say it's an actual rivalry, but like, I have a certain feeling in my mind when
you say Toronto Raptors.
When you say the Toronto Raptors, you know.
I feel the same way about the Hawks, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, let me address them by their real name now. The Atlanta Maryland Terrapin Hawks.
That's right, yes.
Bruno Fernando is one of their newest additions.
Yes.
But whatever, fuck the Hawks, man. See, and that's the thing, too. Like, it sucks. Like, I was a big fan of Alfred Morris back in the day when I watched football. But...
What is that?
Yeah. when he got traded, which was our fault, to the Cowboys... Mm-hmm. He was one of the ones I wasn't like, oh, fuck his whole soul. It was just like, well, not supporting you now, so bye.
Yeah. You like unfollow him on all social media accounts and stuff. Yeah,
because it's like, why?
What's the point?
Yeah.
I don't want to like you anymore. So.
But yes, we digress.
Yeah, so anyway. Well, we've talked about soccer a lot now. So,
yes, so let's talk about it some more.
Let's actually get into talking about soccer. So as we said, we had a chance to watch the game together out in public. So I'm humbled that you considered me for this.
I mean, it's fine. I'll watch games out in
even
public.
You. Even though I had to like convince you to.
No.
It's like, yeah, I'll just leave work and go watch it with you if.
No, it was just that one game. It was that one game in particular. Okay.
All right. And what do you plan on doing in Miami when we watch the games?
As long as I watch it, I don't care who's there. I'm going to watch it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm just going to go on the
other
side.
That's fine. It's not a Julian thing. It was just like, look, like I'm watching this game. It's like anything else. Like,
yo, but you squatted up though. There was like 700 heads there for like Sarah, and everybody kept asking me. Oh, so like, how do you know?
No, my main thing is that I had my girl Ellie there. Oh crap, I gotta talk to her about that too. I had my girl Ellie there, my little sister, because we've been watching pretty much every single match together. Mm-hmm. I have to break it to her that I'm not gonna be here for the final.
Lucky Ellie.
So
just tell her to come to Miami.
That's been like our thing. We post up on the one side of the bar and we
relax,
chill the entire fuck out. Producer number two. Yeah. So we watched the game together at Yard House pretty much every single time. And Lisa and JP, my godmother and godbrother, like they wanted to come through too. And they know enough about sports. They could like commiserate with me. So. You know, you're out here talking about even telling people, oh, I'm not that much of a soccer person. Boo.
Who, me?
That's exactly what you said.
But I'm not.
So why do you get upset when I'm saying I'm not trying to watch a game with you?
Well, no, I enjoy watching this aspect of it.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I'm not big into like the club football. I'm not, you know, going to be like following Chelsea and fucking like Man U. And
maybe you should.
Yeah, that's a lot of commitment. Talk about commitment issues. Shit.
There's literally always soccer on to watch.
Right. But that's like,
so turn it on and watch. Learn some things.
Yeah, but there's, I mean, okay. We'll get into that later.
Will we?
I mean, later as in like another point in time.
Okay. But yeah, so USA versus France, that should have been, that matchup in general is finals worthy because a lot of people believe those two to be the best two teams in the world. Again, nothing against Germany. Germany's a great team as well. But you have France, who boasts some of the best players like Les Sommer, Henri, Wendy Renard, Diani. Like, they're straight ballers. And the fact that they had the matchup with the United States so early in the tournament is, I mean, it kind of sucks.
But, yeah, it does. It's unfortunate.
You know, but hey, that's the way of it.
That's and the way the cookie crumbles.
Man, that right there, like, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Well, I guess I'll wait to get into it even more. But that's why goal differential and where you finish in the group is so damn important. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the match was incredible. All hail the queen, Megan motherfucking Rapinoe, out here with a brilliant free kick.
Yeah.
Which was in between the 18 and the corner flag. It takes a wicked bend inside. Julie Ertz like hurdles it and it goes in between the legs of a French player and then into the back of the net.
Untouched.
Yeah. Well, I think actually one of the French players got like a small deflection off of it.
Got a pube on it.
Yeah. But I mean, the moral of the story is the keeper just couldn't see it. She couldn't track the ball well enough. And that bad boy, when it went to the back of the net, it made my heart so happy.
I bet. Yeah.
And her stance after that goal.
Yo, the pose, that's an iconic pose.
It is. That pose will go down in history.
You
like
think that's
going
to replace the Brandi Chastain joint if they win the World Cup?
I mean, it could be up there, you know? Like, it's that thing, that is, that's straight queen status right there, yo.
That was pretty baller.
It was awesome. If you guys haven't seen it, look it up. It's amazing.
It's kind of, in some ways, it's, well, we're going to call it the Rapinoe pose.
Yeah.
But it's kind of similar to the,
like a Tebow.
The what?
That's how you Rapinoe. You know, when you Tebow. When he knelt.
Yes.
Tebowing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Rapinoing.
Oh.
Yes. Oh my God.
No, I get what you're saying. Sorry.
Do you?
Sorry. My mind's on other things right
now. Are you okay?
No, I'm not okay.
But yeah, so that was, and so let's get into it a little bit more. Everyone, you know, is trying to say that Kelly O'Hara had a handball in the box with a little bit of time left. So we go up 2-0 on them. Another great goal by Megan Rapinoe. They left her completely wide open on the back post, and she finishes it one time, puts in the back of the net. And then absolutely no one in the world was marking Wendy Renard. It was a French corner in the second half, and she's 6 foot tall.
It wasn't. It was a set piece. It wasn't a corner.
I mean, that is a set piece.
No, but you said a corner.
I thought it was a corner, not a free kick.
Yeah, it was a free kick. I just watched it. Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was a corner. So set piece. A corner is a set piece.
My bad, but it was. Yeah.
It's a free kick.
Yes.
It was a free kick.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Not a corner, but a free kick. But no one in the world was marking her, and she completely just ran in and then, boop, put her head on it, back of the net.
Yeah.
Like,
which is crazy, yeah, because I rewatched the match before you came. I was like,
100% unmarked.
Yeah, and not only that, she's 6'1".
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get her. Cause
that's the kind of person that, like, you know, you're not going to outjump them or whatever, but that's, you make contact on them to throw them off a little bit.
Hmm.
And then hopefully.
Gotta disrupt.
Yeah. Hopefully it's enough for them to mess it up. And then, so it's 2-1 at this point, and it's late in the second half, and Kelly O'Hara, one of the French players kicks the ball into Kelly O'Hara's arm.
Right.
And her arm does not leave her body, leave the side of her body.
It. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it is inside the box, and it straight up does hit her arm. Now, by definition, it is not a handball because her hand does not leave her body. It does not intentionally go out to try and hit the ball. So by that definition, it's not a handball. However, how they have been calling that throughout this entire tournament, that should have been called a handball. Mm. They should have gotten a PK.
Wow, yeah.
In my opinion. But also on the flip side of things, the third goal that was called back from the United States was called offsides.
Right.
I'm sorry, offside. which it was not. You can go back. I mean, they even replayed it, and she was dead even.
I never reviewed.
No, but I mean, I'm saying, yeah, like, right, the commentators, like, they replayed it with the line. Neither one of those plays were officially reviewed, and they both should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the final score should have been 3-2.
Right.
You know, for all intents and purposes. But, right, like, yeah. So that should definitely, in my opinion, that Kelly O'Hara should have been a handball. Just by the way they've been calling it for consistency purposes. And I'm surprised they didn't review that offside call, because, again, it should have been. Because, and that's the thing of it too, I can't remember. That's the exact reason for a delayed offside flag. Because VAR cannot be triggered unless the ball goes in the back of the net. So that's why they don't put their flag up. They wait for the play to develop. And then if the ball goes in the back of the net, they review it.
Wow, that's all interesting.
It's, which, the thing, again, I'm going to reiterate that it pisses me off, because it's changing the way people play the game. And you hear all these defenders, like my girl Kat Whitehill, who's commentating one of the games, it changes your game as a defender. Because, like, not by any means should you ever wait for that call or, like, hang your head, like, put everything you have on that call. But still, like, to continue playing despite knowing it's like, hey, that was offside, it changes shit.
Yeah, true.
So, but yeah, I mean, I am sad to see the French players go out like that. Also, after losing that game, we have officially knocked them out of the Olympics next year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like a double blow.
Yeah.
It's like, not only do you lose in the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
You lost at home.
Yep.
And you're not going to be competing, yeah, in the Olympics.
And you lost to the Americans, which no one likes us.
Right. Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, they could go to their cathedral, right? Oh, wait.
Oh, it's like, I'm just kidding. My God.
I'm just kidding.
No, he's not. Wow. Yeah. So, semis.
Yeah. Well, it was a good game. Yeah. So, looking forward to the semifinals.
Yep.
So, who we got? What are the matchups?
We've got England playing the United States on Tuesday at 3 p.m.
Eastern time?
Yep. And then we have Sweden.
Sweden.
Playing the Netherlands in the second semifinal. So I truly don't believe Sweden to be this good. Now, I'm not going to lie. That's a little bit biased of me, because I don't particularly like this Swedish team. Only because they have a tendency to knock us out of important tournaments. So therefore, by law of syllogism, fuck them.
You said Sweden's playing who?
Sweden is playing the Netherlands. So it's Sweden and the Netherlands and on one side, and then you got England, United States. And again, I don't believe England to be that threatening of a team too, which again goes to show it matters how you play in your group play. Because imagine, let's say Sweden had finished ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been them playing France.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We would have played Germany, in theory. In theory, if we make the direct, you know, this is, of course, not talking about any type of other butterfly effect from that. But that's, even last World Cup, the men's World Cup, the men's English team, England kind of limped in to the quarterfinals because of how they played. They finished low enough in their group play that they just got through.
Right. Were they the third place?
I think they were. Yeah, I think they got.
Because they had Argentina in their group. Scotland. Right?
Oh, the women?
Because England played Scotland,
mm-hmm,
and Argentina.
Yeah. And then the.
Was it South Africa or something?
No, Japan. And then you had three teams in Group C, Italy, Australia, and Brazil. With Brazil being the third place team,
mm-hmm,
which is something you never would have imagined.
Right. Well, you never thought they would lose to... Well, I don't say never thought they would lose to Australia, but you figure after Australia lost their first game...
No, let me tell you this. Australia and Brazil have a hardcore rivalry going on.
Yeah.
They also have a history of knocking each other out of important tournaments.
Well, I'm glad they lived to...
Yeah.
You know, now they can both watch it together while holding,
right,
hands.
Because I believe Brazil knocked Australia out of the last World Cup, but then the Australians knocked Brazil out of the Olympics or something like that. It's, I can't remember. I believe that was the rotation currently.
Yeah.
So
that's a whole lot of yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yellow and green. That's just right. All over the place.
That's right. But despite not being found anywhere in the Australian flag, but you know, that's another story.
I'm really excited.
Good.
England also had, man, if you guys have the time, go back and look at England at the highlights from the England-Norway game. Their third goal was a straight banger off of a free kick, like right outside the 18, right down the middle, man. It was beautiful. But yeah, so I'm going to stop talking about soccer. I'm super excited for it. Yard House Tuesday. We about to make it happen.
Yes. Before we move on to our next soccer-related subject, have you been watching any of the Copa America? Did you see the Colombia and Chile game, or the end of it?
I didn't see it. I heard about it though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How like excited is Sarah about that? Sarah just gave a Claire shrug.
I mean, of course, I want them to win, and like, if I actually watched the game, I would have been like super excited about it. But like,
you started to watch the game.
The Colombia Chile game.
Yeah.
Oh, we tried to, but it was freaking delayed. Then my niece wanted to watch something else.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And then I did get a chance to see your boy get eliminated.
How did that make you feel?
I mean, I could give two rats ass about that motherfucker. He does the same shit every game, man. Falls over and then gets up 2 seconds later acting like he's all right. But when he falls, acting like the world's about to end. So, whatever.
Wait, a South American does that? What? South American soccer player does something like that? I'm surprised. Anyway, so. Well, before I get swung on completely.
Yeah. You done?
So on the monitor right now.
Yeah.
On the TV right now is track and field. Now, what event is this, Sarah?
This is 110 hurdles.
110 hurdles.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what? Not event.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I meant, but.
It's the Prefontaine Classic.
Yes.
It's really exciting. It's one of my favorite races to watch.
So we came across an article talking about the Women's World Cup, of course. It's called, Why is the Women's U.S. Women's World Cup Roster So White? Now, obviously, with a headline like that, it'll draw you in. But it basically talks about how just prior to the U.S. women's matchup with the French women's national team, one of the things that you notice is, I guess, the difference just in terms of you see faces of color, right? You see faces of color in the French team, but those faces are noticeably absent on the U.S. women's team. So some of the highlights of the article is basically talking about that. Basically, there's 12 women of color, and I'm using that in quote. And right. Not to take away from that, but it's just an arbitrary term.
That's just what they say. I mean, so it's actual.
So there's 12 women of color on the French squad and just 5 on the U.S. squad. And now of the 5 that are listed, those of you who know soccer will know who I'm talking about, but Crystal Dunn, Kristen Press, Jessica McDonald, Mallory Pugh, and Adriana French.
Uh-huh. She's a backup goalkeeper.
Yeah, so. Now, obviously, people of color, that's fine, but then you have the certain optics. I mean, sometimes this gets uncomfortable to talk about, right?
Because it's always uncomfortable to talk about.
Right, race is uncomfortable to talk about. But so some of the things, you're saying that these are people of color, obviously so, but at the same time, if you look at a Kristen Press, if you look at a Mallory Pugh, you would probably have to, in some instances, look a little bit closer to find that they may be of color. So,
I mean, Sydney LaRue.
Right.
White mother, black father.
Right. Part of the white mom club.
Yeah. So. She can come to our meetings.
Yeah. So basically listening to that is saying that, so it's an estimated 85% of France's population, you know, of people of color. So it's just in terms of representation of people of color on the teams. And going into why we think that is, or why the article thinks that is that you think about how people, let's say, in the inner city where there happens to be a high concentration of people of color, right? It's not every day that you're going to go find somebody out on a soccer field, right? And, you know, you're not going to find somebody like, let's say, in Southeast, you know what I mean? Or probably, you know, Southeast DC, of course. that's not, or, you know, that's going to go out on a soccer field, let alone, how many soccer fields do you know of in Southeast that aren't just, like, you know, run down or even have soccer goals set up?
Well, and that's the thing of it, too. It's like a lot of times it's not necessarily about, it's just about finding an area of grass to play on, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's the whole equipment component of it. Well, you know, you got to have shoes to play, right? You know,
yeah.
And so you can get some runners or something like that. But at the same time, if somebody decides that they want to play competitively, then they're going to be competing against people who have the money to buy shoes and shin guards and, you know, just, everything as it pertains to that, too. You know, so, I mean, that's an argument that you can make, you know, against basketball, to where all you really need to play basketball is a ball and a court, you know, and there's basketball courts almost everywhere.
I was trying to find it. I think it was actually Sean King. He posted it. It was something talking about the French team last year, that the men's team that won the World Cup. And I wish I remembered the concept of it. Was pretty much like, okay, great, France, you guys won. And obviously not taking anything away from the talent on the team, but like, also let's acknowledge the diversity, but why that diversity exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the French team.
Right, right. That's a very important point.
You know, which honestly, I mean, is no different than why it exists in the United States of America, because slavery.
Right.
You know? But like it was quoted really, really well, and I wish I found it. But my whole thing with this article is I appreciate what they're trying to convey. That yes, I agree with them that their point is that, like Julian said, like it costs way too much money to be playing at these higher level of soccer for these low income families. It's thousands of dollars a season just for these kids to travel the way they do, you know, and this is assuming that they have a way to every single game.
Right.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say, you know, God bless my parents and God bless the other teammates that I had, because to be cliche about it, it takes a village. And there are so many times when we carpooled and all this good stuff to games and everything to make sure that people got there safely and all that good stuff. But it's expensive. It's really expensive. And especially if you want to develop these camps, costs money and it's expensive and it does not appeal to low income families. But what irritates me about this is that when this person who's trying to give his perspective on, he's like, oh, when I was growing up, it was skewed and it wasn't necessarily representative. It's like, yes, but also, thank you, man. Thank you, male human.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's right what he's saying, but it's like I was telling Julian before we started recording, it's like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Right. We know this. As female, like, soccer players, we know this. This is something that has been an issue for us from the get as well. You know, it's like when that first man finally addresses, like, ah, sexual harassment, this needs to stop.
Right.
Yeah. We know. Again, I don't want to take away from the positive work that they're doing, because they are funding low-income families. And, like, they bring up two examples of two young women that they're providing scholarships for so they can play. But it's like, I think what it really comes down to is the fact that, like, the story is coming from two men.
Yeah.
And nothing against that it being men themselves, like them as humans, but it's like these two people in particular. But it's like the story when we talked about Allyson Felix and going through Nike and trying to get better pregnancy and paternity, maternity care and all that good stuff. It's like these very women specific issues are being fought for us by men.
Right. Decided and fought for
by men.
Right.
And if they even bring it up later down in the article, talking about how, oh, a big reason why you see more diversity in France is because the women's coach, she was the one that fought hard for it. Mm. But they bring up the fact that she's a female.
Right, right, yeah.
And like I said, I think I'm very cynical when it comes to stuff like this, because it's just like when anything else is like, oh, well, this has to stop for females. It's like, yeah, dude, we know that.
Yeah, you get surprised and like people are like, yeah, we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like even when you go back to the throwback episode of SNL when the white people are watching Trump get elected and they're like, there's no way this type of racism really exists in America. This can't possibly happen. And you see Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock being like, okay, guys. You know what I mean? Like, right. Yeah. That's the same kind of thing. It's like, this is our struggle that we've been dealing with since day one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We know about this.
Right.
Yes, you're right. It is. It's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do appreciate is that they do call out United States Soccer Federation, that it is a problem that starts with them at the top. And absolutely, especially you have these immigrant families establishing new roots in DC, Maryland, Virginia area. Like, we'll just take that small sample size, like, yeah, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you like further encourage your, I'm not saying it's a valid reason, but again, you see these parents being like, well, yeah, I want my little girl to follow her dreams, but when we have the reigning World Cup champions literally taking the U.S. Soccer Federation to court amid going to a World Cup because they're not getting paid enough, why would I want my daughter to play?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, for a lot of families, you see it flip it the other way around. Like, for men to go out, young boys to aspire to play basketball or football or whatever professional sport they choose,
mm-hmm,
it's looked as their way out. That's not the way of it with women's sports.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, if anything, it just brings us more controversy. Look at all the amazing talent that is coming out of Megan Rapinoe.
Right.
Since day one.
Mm-hmm.
That girl has always been a talented footballer.
Right.
But what so many people are choosing to see is the fact, like, oh, here's this loud ass lesbian out here talking about how much she hates Trump and how she's not going to go to the White House before she even wins the World Cup. She was not saying that. That question was asked of her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she didn't just outwardly just present that. Yeah.
Right. So it's stuff like that, that, like, even when we succeed, we got people out here talking about, shut up. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm, you, of course, like, you have these families coming to America. They don't want to subject their kids to that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's a, you know what I mean? That's very old school fashion, like a conservative thing, not conservative, but very old school way of thinking. And it's unfortunate. It makes me sad because we need more women in general playing. And I think that's one thing when you look at it from the whole feminist struggle to begin with, it's less about race. And like Crystal Dunn said, she said, yeah, I think we're making big steps forward. And of course, I'm out here cheering and supporting for every black girl to make it forward, you know? But like their community, this type of community for me, in my opinion, is more so bringing us together as women.
Right.
You, mm-hmm, know?
Yeah.
And for to be completely, I guess, hypocritical for the hottest of seconds, our diversity is different. We have more ways to be diverse than just race,
yeah,
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it's really stupid if you really think about that comment. But like, you see more of this women's national team banding together through like Pride Month and Stonewall and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
And, but again, it's not that we're not out here not supporting the rise of colored people in the sport. Is just, we're out here just trying to make it as women in general.
Exactly.
You know,
mm-hmm,
that struggle is that's a struggle in itself.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that irritates me about the article too. It's like, oh, there are already Latinos on the team. It's like, there aren't any Latinas on this current World Cup roster, but,
mm-hmm,
Sofia Huerta has a couple caps for the United States and she's Mexican. She's Mexican American.
Yeah. And real quick, you know, one of the things I do want to address, well, actually, a couple of things I do want to address is that, one, so the article also talks about how two men, which is one, mm-hmm, thing, two men are pretty much responsible for a nonprofit. It's called the Open Goal Project, and it's an organization that helps ethnic minorities access resources to pay for these opportunities to actually play soccer. And, you know, one of the guys who founded this nonprofit is a former MLS player who retired in the Washington, D.C. area. And, you know, I guess he's surprised at how much potential there is and, like,
yeah,
you know, talent, you know, people of color. But one of the things I was saying to you, though, is, you know, it's shocking to him. But if you think about it, if soccer is an expensive sport to play, think about where you are living right now, because the Washington, D.C. area, it's one of the most affluent areas in the country.
Yep.
You know, so, I mean, okay, I'm not saying that, you know, there's no need for people of color to have access to these, but I'm just saying, like, you're comparing, if you go, I don't know that he'll find the same disparity in a different part of this country.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. You know, you could probably go to a different part of the country and have a completely different outcome.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to address too is we talk about the absence of Latinas on the U.S. women's roster. But if you think about it, you know, obviously Latina, their parents or whatever, you know, come from another place. And so if the talent is there, they have an opportunity to play for the national team.
For a different national team,
you know, and because of eligibility.
Yeah.
And anybody who would say anything against that, think about what's happened with the U.S. men's team.
Yep.
You know what I mean? How many Germans did we have on the team?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so that's the opportunity.
Well, how many people we have here playing, growing up in the United States, playing in these club and these academies, but then again, go back and play for, you know, Nicaragua or, you know, Honduras or Mexico or somewhere else,
absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, again, I said to you before, earlier, like for me, the most memorable early example of a female going to play for somewhere else is Becky Hammon.
Right.
You know, she chose to play. Well, she applied for, because she was playing professional ball in Russia.
That's right. She was playing
there. And there is some family tie. So she got her citizenship and played for Russia as opposed for the United States.
Mm-hmm. And in some organizations, not necessarily soccer, maybe even could be soccer, but you don't even need to have an ethnic tie to it.
Yeah.
Because you have Andre Blatch, who played for not only the Washington Wizards, but played for the Philippines national team.
Yeah.
You have Serge Ibaka.
Right.
Who played for the Spain national team. This is basketball, of course.
You look at all these track athletes. They all went to American schools.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The kid that went 1 and 2 in the NCAAs, he won the 100 and 200. I believe, I'm going to mess it up. I believe he's Nigerian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just the way of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. And because, like we said earlier, we're such a capitalist country. They look at it at money, you know, and how much people are bringing in and all this good stuff. And it's like, of course, like, they're going to choose to, when we have these women that are being denied equal pay because the Federation keeps saying, oh, you don't bring enough money. And it's like, well, yeah, honestly, like, right. If I were, like, of course I want my daughter to be an athlete, but, like, nah, man, if she's out here going to be treated like this, you know, I don't wish that for her.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, so check out the article. I mean, there's a lot of points here. As you were saying earlier, the article is well-intentioned, but I think there's a lot of things that are kind of missing from it. You know, I'm kind of, I guess, having a better understanding of certain things will allow you to kind of, you know, make a decision for yourself whether you think it's good. But
right.
But check it out. It's called, in quotes, it makes absolutely no sense. Why is the U.S. Women's World Cup roster so white?
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Amy Ruskai or something like that.
Yep.
And that's on Goal, which is, I guess, an online publication. But check it out. We'll see if we can try to get a link up or something. So moving on. Relationships.
Are you excited?
I'm very, very excited to be us in the A. It's from Borat. So, anyway. So we saw this on one of our Facebook followers.
Yes.
And we're at Facebook followers. Damn, I keep doing that.
Oh, yeah. It's Instagram. Instagram.
Once again, Instagram. We saw this on one of our Instagram followers posts or whatever. So it's basically a list of old-fashioned dating rules. 10 old-fashioned dating rules. And so we'll go down the list right now and we'll talk about whether we agree or disagree or maybe if we just want to swing on each other. So,
okay. Number one, coming to the door to pick someone up.
Number two, trying to dress really nicely for a date.
Three, bringing flowers or other tokens of affection to the first date.
Number four, going dancing that's not grinding on a grimy club floor.
Number five, this one kind of makes me laugh. Straightforwardly asking someone out and not calling it hanging out.
Number six, additionally, being clear about when you're going steady, in quotes.
Number seven, romantic gestures like writing poems.
Number eight, turning electronics off and just being with one another.
Number 9, the general concept of asking permission for things. What? What? Okay.
We're about to fry that one. Okay, number 10, last one. Not assuming sex is to be had at any point in time. So what stands out to me, and I guess, well, I mean, shit, I mean, I might, but coming to the door to pick someone up, I mean, I guess it's a courtesy thing to do, you know, it's not entirely necessary, I don't think. I mean, like, what, I mean, I'm sure there's probably reasons, like, if the person, let's say, I'm assuming maybe it's the girl, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, but if they live maybe in a bad area or something, they don't, you don't want them to, like, walk out by themselves or something like that, maybe, but if not,
I don't know.
You know, I don't know.
I also used to live on the fourth floor without an elevator, so.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I wasn't, like, super pressed when Bae didn't come to the door. It's more like, hey, I'm downstairs. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll be right there. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
Them joints, every single time I came home, mad out of breath. So it's stuff like that that, like, I understand that, yes, it would mean, it would mean something like, oh, they came all the way up here. You know, as a sign of effort. And I think a lot of these have to do with effort and putting in more effort just to let this other person know that you are interested in them and right. making it different. Fine. But for me, it's not a make or break.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Number 2, trying to dress really nicely for a date. My thing about this is dress appropriately, but dress whatever the fuck you want to wear.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, don't go to a nice restaurant in, like, basketball shorts or whatever.
And, like, yoga pants.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Dress really nicely for a date. Well, where the fuck are y'all going?
Right.
You know, you have to dress. Yeah. You know,
and I, as someone who owns more athletic wear than, as I like to call them, normal people clothes.
Yeah.
I get that, you know, because it's, for me, I do enjoy dressing up occasionally because it's different. It's that much more different for me. But at the same time, man, like, yoga pants are the best. IMO.
Yoga pants.
But yeah.
Tres.
Bringing flowers or other tokens of affection to the first date. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
Maybe this is why I'm single. I don't know, man. Like, it's not a make or break thing. I personally am a fan of flowers, but I think that's something that not necessarily has to be done on the first date because I don't know this person yet. Maybe they hate flowers, you know?
Maybe that's exactly
maybe
my point.
Flowers ain't shit to them or mm-hmm. but like and that's why I appreciate the fact it says it alludes to other tokens of affection, but I don't think that is something that needs to be done on the first date. I think it would mean more on the second, third, whatever, after you have more time to have conversation and be like, oh, they remembered from this one conversation that I said this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would show that they're listening and being, you know,
right,
attentive, stuff like that. So I'm not against what number 3,
mm-hmm.
but first date, not a deal breaker.
And so I want to be very clear with the listeners out there. Do we have a name for the listeners, right?
No, we don't, Julian. I said it was stupid. You loved it.
What was it? What was it again?
It was
Passengers or something?
Yeah.
All right. I want to be very clear about this, and you alluded to it earlier, but the truth of the matter is not everybody likes flowers.
Yeah.
And or gift giving.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, know your love.
Know your audience. You know, it's like, oh, like, why the fuck did you bring me this? These, like, you don't know me. You know what I mean? I don't like flowers, you know?
Yeah.
So just be aware of that.
That's why I think it's important to wait, not necessarily in the first date,
mm-hmm.
you know, but have a little bit more time to develop and like a relationship and more of a rapport and actually get to know each other better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Number 4, going dancing that's not grinding on a grimy club floor. I feel the exact same way as I did last time. Not everybody likes dancing.
Right.
And I know somebody in this podcast who does not like dancing.
It's not me. I love dancing, actually.
Yeah. Well, ooh, this is your favorite.
Jay's out here finna hold up a wall.
I will hold that entire like
structure.
The structure of this building will rely on me, and I will be completely
willingly.
Cool with that. Willingly, straightforwardly asking someone out and not calling it hanging out.
Oh my god!
Nah, you're being too fucking particular. You know, like I get being direct or whatever, right. But how it's phrased is up to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh, we're hanging out. Why don't you just ask the question like, hey, so when you say hanging out, like, what do we mean by this?
Yeah.
It's just communication. I know.
Well, and again, communication and understanding seems to be a struggle.
Yeah.
But.
And if that's a struggle, then maybe you should.
I'm moving on. Sorry.
That voice, the voice of an angel.
Duh.
Being clear about when you're quote unquote going steady.
Communication.
Yeah.
Difficult conversation.
I like
if it is difficult.
Yeah. I like you, but I'm, you know, and I'm thinking, or how do you feel about us being exclusive?
Yeah.
Or you can just say for yourself, like, so I like you so much to the point where I'm willing to dead all my side projects.
Start deleting people out the phone. Yeah. Also, man, going steady. Really? Are we in high school?
Yeah. Going steady's not. Yeah.
Like it's even now, like I appreciate the term boyfriend, but like I'm not out here to be dating like a boyfriend.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Like I need me. My man.
My man.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just me.
Or
that's
the guy that I'm dating. You know, romantic gestures like writing poems.
Let's reiterate, not everyone likes poems.
Yeah. And everybody has a different idea of what being romantic is.
Right. This stuff, again, to me, just circles back to getting to know each other and knowing what you're into, knowing what the other person is into, and listening mm-hmm. when you talk. That's one thing I did appreciate about, when I say my most previous relationship, over half a decade ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. He heard me say once that I liked that Coach bag. And then for Christmas, that's the Coach bag. That's what my present was. He heard me say it once.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
He was, gift giving was 110% one of his main love languages.
Yeah.
So he was very good at that.
Where that Coach bag at though?
I still have it.
Oh yeah?
Hell yeah. I'm not giving up no damn Coach bag.
I didn't say give it up. I just asked where it was. Damn.
It's at home. I'm not bringing a Coach bag here.
I'm just saying damn. Oh, but you bring that Kate Spade joint though.
Yeah, but that's not.
Yeah, but that's my Tuesday bag.
No.
that's my Sunday bag.
No, the Kate Spade bag is my tote. Oh. Okay? The Coach bag is a purse. It's a purse, okay?
All right, cool.
Anyway.
Thank you for
that. Was a
clarifying.
Hangover quote.
Number 8, turning electronics off and just being with one another.
That one I do love.
I agree with this.
I think we need to do that more.
Yes. The general concept of asking permission for things.
What does that mean?
I vehemently disagree with
this. What is that permission for? What things to right. Can I do this? You're a grown-ass adult,
right? I will never never say never, but I will never ask Stephanie for permission to do something.
Again, it's a discussion. It's not like right. Oh, can I do this? It's like, hey, let's talk about it.
Yeah That's so I don't know. I mean, maybe that should be like rephrased or something. I don't know. Lastly, not assuming sex is to be had at any point in time. Like, hey, like we had a great date. So we about to just do this right now? Like, what's the deal?
I mean, again, that's more of a respect communication thing.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Main keys that we keep mentioning, communicate.
Yeah.
Communicate. Because if you don't, then that's when things will go drastically awry.
Yeah.
And that's where it's hard to it will stunt development early.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, so that's just a list of 10 old-fashioned dating habits. One of these shows, we'll talk about what dating habits we think would benefit.
Our favorite dating habits. Is that a thing? Is that a thing that we could do?
Yeah, we could. Yes, let's absolutely do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. But we would love your input. We would love your input. So reach out to us on Instagram.
Instagram.
At the BTW Podcast. Also on Twitter, the _ BTW Podcast. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Beautiful Train Wreck. How many words is that?
That's one.
That's just one.
Yep.
And also email us. Hit us on the BTW Podcast at gmail.com. Awesome sauce. Okay, cool. So dating stuff. That's the relationship stuff.
Yes.
So lastly, as we make like a fetus and head out.
Yep.
And the Hot Mess Express.
The Hot Mess Express, a new segment that we're starting the past couple of weeks, y'all.
That's right. So this week, as you we talked about last week about the trade between the Pelicans and the Lakers. And Anthony Davis is now a Los Angeles Laker.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and free agency is going to pop off here by the time this episode airs. Drops. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Shit's about to go cray cray.
Yeah, so it might have the same issue that we'll be talking about. And that issue is, so Anthony Davis for the New Orleans Pelicans wore number 23. Well, LeBron James wears number 23 for the Los Angeles Lakers. What are we going to do? And so LeBron has agreed to give up number 23 and allow Anthony Davis to wear it. And he'll revert back to his old number, number 6.
Number 6.
To when he was with the Miami Heat now. There's been a discussion coming up. We just saw it before. Just in terms of the great players, they're attached to a certain number.
Right.
Like when you see certain numbers, there's an athlete that you relate to that number.
Right.
You know?
Right. Instantaneously.
At the top of the show, we say episode 54, right? And I said, this is the Horace Grant episode.
Yep.
But who do you think of when you think of number 23?
Obviously Michael Jordan.
Obviously Michael Jordan. You know, not always thinking about LeBron James or Anthony Davis. So let's go through some numbers. We talked about number 3.
Right.
You know, and you said, did you think of...
Well... I mean,
it could
I
be
do
all across all sports.
I do think of Dwayne Wade. I also think of Allen Iverson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Those are my main two that I think of when you say number 3.
Right. Yeah. So you know, there's lots of numbers here. You know, one of the numbers I was thinking about. You have anybody who you think of when you see like a number 9?
Oh, Mia.
Mia Hamm. Exactly.
Mia Hamm.
You know. So you know who I think of?
Who?
And this is not as great or whatever. I think Brady Anderson.
So I wore number 9 because of Mia Hamm growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there on out, that's a big reason why I actually liked Brady Anderson. I started watching Brady Anderson because I always find out who the number 9s were on all the teams. And I would be like, all right, I'm going to watch them and see if they're good or not.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of my most disappointing number 9s?
Who?
Tony Romo.
Really? And not Luis Suarez?
Well, he's a piece of shit. He doesn't even register on my... on my list of humans.
Okay, so if you had to save Tony Romo or Luis Suarez.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Nope, I choose
death is not an option.
I choose my own death.
You choose your own death?
I choose my own death.
I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah, I'll switch places with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Drew Brees, Tony Parker.
Tony Parker. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm thinking about like the first player that comes to mind when you hear. So
Mia Hamm.
So we talked about 32, right?
Yeah.
And you said who?
I said Magic.
You said Magic Johnson, exactly. Yeah. So I said Shaq because I grew up, you know, an Orlando Magic fan,
right.
Believe it or not. And when I played basketball, number 33 was mine. Now, who do you think of when you hear 33?
Larry Bird.
Yeah, you think Larry Bird. So I'm thinking Pippen, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, and I, you know, obviously before that you have Kareem. Yeah.
CR7.
But it's always interesting, you know, like, so I would be interested to hear... you know, some of the numbers that you think are the iconic numbers in the first players that comes to your mind. So,
no more numbers? What was Derek Jeter's number?
2.
Alex Rodriguez. 13, wasn't it?
He was 13 for the Yankees, but 3 for the Rangers and
that's
the
what it was,
Mariners.
3. Yeah, I forgot he was 13. Number 10s.
I think of it as baseball, like my favorite team. So I'm thinking like Adam Jones.
Yeah.
You know, Miguel Tejada.
I got.
RG3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, there you go.
And for me, with again, hi, I'm going to talk about soccer. A lot of these numbers have specific positions associated with them.
Mm-hmm.
So number 9s are typically great strikers.
Exactly, yeah.
Number 10s are typically great center mids. 6s are defenders.
Right.
So it's cultural. Sport-wise.
Yeah, within the context of the actual sport.
Yeah. I mean, when I couldn't wear number 9, I wore 18 because it was 8 plus 1.
Clever girl.
Yeah. Well, because I believe it was Ronaldo himself who, when he went to Juventus,
mm-hmm.
it was when he was with one club team and he couldn't wear 9, so he wore 18 instead. So that's where I got that from.
Wow.
I could be completely wrong because, you know... Believe it or not, Sarah's wrong sometimes.
You're only human. I'm trying to think. I'm just going to pick a number. Shit.
Well, when we said 21, my gut instinct was Dion and Dion and Sean Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Dion and Sean Tayler. I think 21. I think Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah.
Obviously Tim Duncan too, but
right.
You know, but I grew up, you know, watching them.
All right, number four.
Antoine Jameson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that would be like the
Brett Favre.
Who's that?
That's
his, that, his nudes.
Yeah, oh God.
Did he, was he wearing number four when his
yes.
yes.
Foreskin. Oh. God. Yeah. All right. Number 14.
Wow, number 14. I don't know.
Jason Victor Smith.
Oh, get the fuck. Wow.
That was fun.
Yeah. So
I want to play this game some more. Not right now. Not right meow.
Yeah. No, we'll keep it up. We'll,
yeah.
Maybe have a numbers segment and be like, today's number is.
Yeah.
Have a number randomizer or something. And
brought to you by the number
yes,
three.
Exactly. So we're interested in some of your favorite players and the numbers that they're associated with. So hit us up on social media and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
About it.
Boot it. Yeah. Also, don't forget to listen to us on Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Google Play, iTunes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Never don't forget.
Yeah. And pray for us this week, y'all, because we's going to Miami, motherfuckers.
By the time you hear this, on the first day it's released, we'll be in Miami somewhere, either face down or face up on a beach or something, yeah. Or next to a pool or something. Man. Take it in, sun, if it's not raining. Like,
I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're Jesse Spanoff.
I am. I can't wait. This is going to be great.
Yeah, so a much needed
the crew.
Vacation.
We are getting the crew back together,
the
y'all.
The Elmo mixtape crew.
Yep. We'll be posting, so watch that social medias. It'll be great.
Keep an eye out for us.
Yep.
Looking forward to coming back to you to next time.
Yeah.
Until then, I am Jay.
I'm Sarah.
And we'll see you then.